Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay. We do have a guest presenter this evening. Christine LaValle from Habitat for Humanity of Ulster County. The room is yours. Take what you may. No, that's okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
I have some collateral materials from our organization. I don't know that I have enough, so I'm going to ask everyone if you'll take one and pass down, and you may have to share with the person next to you. First off, I'd really like to thank you for the opportunity to come tonight. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with Habitat, but I'll do a little rundown of who we are. Habitat for Humanity International was founded about 4 years ago on the premise that we believe everybody should have a safe, decent, affordable place to live. Ulster County Habitat for Humanity was founded 18 years ago with the big, as we call it, our big audacious goal of every Ulster County resident having a safe, decent, affordable place to live. It is a substantial but very worthy goal that we are continually working for. We have built 12 homes in Ulster County since our inception. We are about to start. We broke ground on the 13th, and we are just awaiting a building permit for our house number 13, which is on East Chester Street in the city of Kingston. We have built, of the houses we've built, 10 of them, 10 of them are in the city of Kingston, 2 of them are in Ellendale. We have properties all over the county at this point. We have 5 properties in the city of Kingston, East Chester Street being the next one we're going to build on. 2 properties that we've kept, they're booked double lot in Ellendale, and 1 property in the down in the south in Platte Hill. It is, and that's bad. I tend to lump that in because the address is the city of Kingston, and that's true. We built a really cute little house on Codbody Street in the town of Ulster back in 2012. Here, and actually, that's an awesome partner too. It's actually 9 Kingston, 1 the town of Ulster, and 2 in Allenville. Our next build, like I said, is on East Chester Street in the city of Kingston. And probably our builds after that are probably also going to be in the city of Kingston. We're going to be seeking some help. That property is for adjacent properties on Grove Street, which is across from Kennedy Elementary School. We are looking to build a multifamily house there, probably either 4 or 6 units, preferably 3 2- and 1-bedrooms, 2 of each. And we will be looking at the water and sewer lines do not go all the way down the street. So we're going to be looking for some help in extending those lines so that we can provide more affordable housing. Our mission statement is simple. It's to bring people together to build homes, community, and hope. The way that we are different from most is that we go ask the community to do that building. We have people on our work sites. We have volunteers. We have very, very few paid staff. But we bring people in, and everybody works on a Habitat house. The family comes in and works on it. We are a hand-up organization, not a hand-out organization. Families that come to us seeking to be partners put 300 hours of sweat equity into our organization. It's mandatory. They have to have good credit. They have to have steady income. And they have to, most importantly, have a willingness to partner. They have to want to, you know, get their hands dirty and roll up their sleeves and be part of the homeownership solution for them and eventually for other people in the county. We're a big pay-it-forward kind of program. We are currently seeking a partner for our East Chester Street home. We are building this really adorable 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath home that doesn't have a partner family yet. We've got a couple of applications in our pipeline. One of the things I'm hoping to walk out with tonight is you all come from different parts of the county, from different walks of life. Every single partner family we have gotten up until this point comes from word of mouth. We advertise, we have public service announcements on the radio, we take out ads in the newspaper looking for partners, but what we consistently find is that when people talk to other people about Habitat, that's when people come in the door and say, hey, I think this might be a great program for me. One of the distinctions that we have to make, we absolutely want to give a hand to everyone who needs it. We can't help everybody. We look for people who are about in the 40 to 60% of area median income. We can go a little bit higher than that. We can't go much lower because everybody has to be, you end up with a mortgage, you buy the house at the end of Habitat. So you have to be able to pay a mortgage, you have to be able to pay your taxes, you have to be able to pay your homeowner's insurance. We mandate that everyone take homeowner classes also, because one of the things we talk about is budgeting and finance, so that you learn to put money aside so that you can go ahead and fix your water heater 10 years down the road and plan for that roof replacement 20 years out, so that people not just become homeowners who used to be renters to have that step up, but become meaningful members of their community. We talk about things like taking their garbage cans in the night the trash gets picked up, because that's important to everybody's community and everybody likes their street to look nice. Mowing your lawn in the summer and not having weeds because you're a part of the community. You have pride in your whole community. We never want anybody to point to the Habitat house on the street and say, oh, that's the Habitat house. We want everybody to point to that house on the street and say, isn't that a great house? Look at that new house on the block. Doesn't that look fantastic? That's our goal, to be to have those houses and to have those community members that everybody is proud to call their neighbors. So as far, one of the reasons we do what we do, homeownership outcomes are not remotely marginally, but hugely improved for people in Habitat homes. They have greater graduation rates from high school. Children's grades tend to improve. Overall family health tends to improve. They've proven there's been some longitudinal studies, instances of asthma go down. And we even have a personal fantastic story. One of our partners in Ellenville, the mom is an aunt. She was just getting divorced and was looking for a place to live. We were building a house in Ellenville and somebody went through her checkout line. She's a cashier in ShopRite. Went through the checkout line and she had been asking people, did you hear about anything? I'm looking for a place to move. We're splitting up. I need a place for my kids and I. And somebody said, you should apply for this Habitat house. I said, they're building in Ellenville for the first time. And so she applied. We had already found a partner family for that house. So she needed to do a little work. She was only working part-time. So this was before I came on board. But the family selection committee worked with her, encouraged her to move full-time at her job. She did, so that she had a better income. She became our next partner in Ellenville. She's owned her house for about 7 years now, and I got a lovely email from her. I saw her a few weeks ago, but got an email from her a couple of weeks prior to that. She was going to her son's college graduation from Columbia for his master's degree in architecture. I mean, that's the kind of success story, whether you're a Habitat parent, who doesn't want that story for their child? And the kid worked his rear end off and ended up with a job a week after graduation, and he's living in the city now. Those are the kind of success stories that we have out of Habitat. So what I hope everybody, if anybody has questions about Habitat, I really, really encourage you to ask me. My business card is in there. My office door is always open. So the things that we're to walk, a few takeaways from tonight. We are seeking a partner family for our next house. Our goal is about 40 to 60% of AMI. Anyone can feel free to call my office. I am always happy to speak to anyone. We do not do home repair at this point. I often get calls about that, and sometimes when people walk away from these things like, oh, I've got somebody who can fix your roof. At this point in time, we aren't capable of doing those kinds of repairs. It's something we hope to expand into down the road. As our organization grows, so will the services that we're able to offer. So, a partner family for East Chester Street, first and foremost. We have a fabulous family selection committee just waiting to do their job and have some fabulous applications in the pipeline. We are always looking for volunteers. One of the things that we do, like I said, we have volunteers on our home site. We're absolutely looking for volunteers for our next home site. We also have a restore up on Route 28 in, we're just outside the city of St. George, we're in the town of Boston. A restore, we sell some new, but primarily gently loved, and now re-loved, furniture and all sorts of things. We generated over $40,000 in sales tax revenue to the county last year on over $500,000 in sales. all from things donated right from our own community. We employ 8 people. We have trucks that are out on the road 4 to 5 days a week doing pickups and deliveries. And our store is open 4 days a week, and there's people waiting when we open the doors at 10 o'clock every morning, and there's usually people in there at 5 when we're ready to close them up at night. We have a volunteer crew that works on the restore on a regular basis of probably about 75 people. Our youngest volunteer is about 16. Our oldest one is 96. And so we have literally everyone is welcome. Just today we have somebody who thought was going to show up to volunteer at 9:30. Our volunteer coordinator called him and said, gee, I thought you were coming today. It was 10 o'clock. He said, oh, I was going to come tomorrow, but I'll come today. Came today and worked the whole day. People who join our volunteer crew have a good time. Today was also National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, so we have chocolate chip cookies. I'm not saying that that hurts, but it's good. But we have a good time and really encourage people to come in our door. So we are looking for volunteers always. And we're always looking for donors, corporate donors, individual donors. In your folders, you have information about how to do any and both of those things. And so the thing that I'm going to ask you to do the most is just to talk about Habitat. You all have different districts that you return to and lots of people who may not have information. You may have people, most of the people who come to us assume that they will never be approved to own a home. Most of them think, no, that's not for me, and there are most people who are afraid to apply. Encourage them, please, to call our office. Come in and see me. My door is always open. I'm happy to meet with people individually. My phone rings all day. I answer it all day. Always happy to speak to people. Does anyone have any questions, comments, thoughts?
Yes, go ahead. Just the only property I know is the one in town.
Yes.
The person that went in there, the family that went in, they have to hold the property. They can't just immediately sell it as well. You lived in for...
We don't say you have to live in it for any period of time, but we file what's called a silent second mortgage. So what happens, Habitat homeowners tend to buy for less than, there's 2 ways that we determine the price of the house, the appraised value or the or what the family can afford to pay, which is 30% of their income. Just as an aside, in Ulster County, of the renters we have, 58% of them is considered cost worthy, which means it costs them more than 30% of their income to pay the rent on their home. That's nearly two and three. That's a significant number. Habitat homeowners, so we will not set a mortgage payment that's higher than 30% of their total income. So those are the two, it ends up being one of those two things. As another aside, the average fair market rent in this county, and excuse me, in the city of Kingston for a 2-bedroom is $1,110 a month. The highest Habitat mortgage we have for somebody who owns their home, inclusive of taxes and insurance, is $850 a month. I think it's 60% of Habitat homeowners sometimes go in and pay less because there's so many people who are cost burdened actually pay less for a mortgage payment than they would have rented. So we do 2 things. So if you pay less for your house than what the market value is, we file a silent second mortgage so that if you try to sell that property, we recapture immediately what it is so that we have money to rebuild and make sure we keep affordable housing in the market. And we have shared appreciation clauses, which says so even if you hold on to it for a period of time, we share in, Habitat shares in that wealth so that it remains a unit of affordable housing because we're dedicated to doing that. It prevents people. We have 3 people that have sold, 2 who have been left the area, and we did have 1 foreclosure. So, and we do that because this is how it's a hand up. If people don't pay, we can't help the next people who are waiting in line. And we tell everybody that when you come to us in the program, this is not a freebie. It's not a pass. We will file a foreclosure action at 120 days because people have to pay because we've got to be able. There's a lot of people who need help, so we've got to be able to help everybody.
Sure. The lady that went in there with her kids, I believe she just put solar on the house. So.
She's awesome. She's a great homeowner. We're actually looking at solar for our building. And if we are successful in building that multifamily, that's absolutely something we would change because that in particular, for a 4 or 6-plex or something, there's really significant savings that can be captured there. Columbia County built 2 net zero houses. That's something we're looking into for the future. But we're going to build number 13 first. I'll be back in a year and we'll talk about that.
For the properties that you have, are the properties typically donated? How do you acquire the properties in person?
It depends. The 10 that we have now have all been donated, but we bought Codway Street, actually, the town vulture, and we will buy, if we're looking, if there's a property, it depends on how it falls. The 4 that I have in Kingston are contiguous. Somebody donated all of them. They wanted to put a very, very large apartment complex on there that did not make it through city planning. And rather than figuring out something slower, what else he wanted to do, when he went to an appraiser to talk about what the options were, the appraiser suggested that he talk to us at Habitat. And that's how the property came to us. The same thing. And actually, the city donated East Chester Street, the property we're building on now. And the other properties were private donations.
Anything else? Okay, you have packets. The information's in there, the card, her real phone number.
My real phone number, yes, I really answered that.
So,
thank you all very much. I really appreciate your time.
Appreciate it. Okay. I'm just going to, if people don't mind, I'm going to take things a little out of order. I'm going to go to 314, Resolution 314. Approving the execution of a contract between County Vulture and Yells County Economic Development Alliance to implement the recommendations of the Elba Million Committee amending the 2015 Ulster County Budget Department of Planning. With us today, we have two members of that committee, Phil Coon and Steve Kelly. Richard, I'm sorry, Rich. So I entertain a motion for discussion.
Motion for discussion.
Okay, Herb, second. Okay, discussion. Committee people, any questions? Anything that you need anybody from the...
I mean, we've never actually officially seen the plan. We've heard about it, we've read about it, but, you know, it was never presented to this body.
Okay, you want to? Okay.
Now, to go that, you have to go too much into the history of the whole initial learning concept, the concept of county executive plan, following the loss of the casino license. In an overly working area. We know that the county will be receiving revenues. All the counties within the region of the casino will receive revenues to help offset the impact of that casino on their county. In 2016, we project that we'll budget about $1 million, and the idea was to help dedicate those funds in the first year to the overly working area. To help address economic development and job creation issues in the area. The county executive appointed a task force. Several of the members are here to review, take input from the community, and make recommendations back to the county. So in the resolution, you can see how the community details several specific agenda items and the dollars they attach to that. What we did is we did our legal review and looked how we can implement the program, and our concept is to appropriate the dollars and transfer it to the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance to manage those funds through the contract with each individual component and lay out a construct where it would be accountability, transparency, and reporting back to the legislature as well.
The Business Alliance will be responsible for
administering
the funds. And did I see somewhere that there is a $75,000 administration fee?
No.
Okay, I misread that.
There's no fee. There's dollars that are set aside for a potential grant writer that we'll contract for, and for there's no fee that it can.
So we're not so this is just for professional services. It's not hiring someone else for
right. There'll be no staff hire. We'll be using in we will let the contract for someone to help do grant writing and that thing. So those are the dollars you're referring to. Part of the community recommendations to help. Well, the grant writing and that thing. So our idea will be to contract with someone for those services. Members of the committee were going to jump in and talk about specific recommendations. Again, all the recommendations came straight from the committee. We vetted them and included them in the contract. We did not modify the specific recommendations or the amendments.
One of the things that we discovered as we went out and listened to the public and looked at economic development opportunities for things like industry was that the town of Washington has an abundance of water and no sewer, and the village of Ellenville has an abundance of sewer since they just replaced their sewer plant, and they have no water. The town, the village, and this would be really remarkable for most of the legislators here, but they don't get along that well all the time. In fact, they hardly get along at all. And so one of our recommendations is to, and we got both parties to agree, which is pretty good, is to form an intermunicipal agreement so that they can share those resources and to be able to have the town use the excess capacity, sewer capacity that the village has, and vice versa, the extra water capacity that the town has would be able to use by the village. So that's an example of one of the recommendations, that without having this forum and a little bit of money to help get them to agree, it has never been done. And so you have no ability to have any economic development that would require water or sewer. That's just not because we have two municipalities that haven't been able to work together that well. So it's been quite a hard to do.
So part of that concept is that the village will agree to sell the town, the town will agree to sell the village, and it won't matter what the receiver is doing with reference to a new business. So the village and the town both have to approve a new piece of business coming in. They just sell water to one and sewer to the other, and then whether you're going to build your business in the village, you deal with the village. You're going to build your village, your business in the town, you deal with the town. Hopefully cut down on more people having an opinion about what should be done.
So easing the process for economic development within either the village or the town.
So that's just one of the examples of one of the projects that we recommended. And that really was an outgrowth of our discovery of what the need really is. And there's resources are there. They just happen to be not available for this part.
Can I ask you a question
just
on that project? So I'm assuming that's described because infrastructure improvements, what you're describing, which I appreciate, has to do with communication, but what...
In order to have that work, there has to be a connection from the main sewer plant that the town has, and our vision on that would be that there would be a pumping station near the prison, which is where that facility is, and there would be pipes that would have to be laid probably through railway, which would then have the benefit of when they're covered up again, there would be a rail trail there, which I don't know, I start thinking. And there's some cost to that, there's quite a bit of cost to that. This would not cover all of that cost, but it's part of that would be covered through the state of New York, which has to have sewer capacity for its prison. Part of it is being paid for now through the town's cost of running that plant. And we think that the end up having lower costs for the village, because right now they're supporting a plant which has very large fixed costs and is running at 25% capacity. So everyone will benefit from that.
Meredith?
Thank you for Ken. When did this start? I mean, I'm just looking at the dollar amount. I understand the importance. I don't disagree with anything that's on the bill. But, you know, just looking at the dollar amount, looking where we're taking it from, I'm just wondering why this wouldn't be part of the budget process in October.
It started this year. We believe that a lot of these projects can actually move forward and implement in this fiscal year. We have the dollars available now. We know what the revenue is going to be for 16. So we can go down and be able to replace it. So there's some misunderstanding that currently the press has reported this discussion. We talked about there are dollars coming to the county to offset the impact of the casinos. You can't technically use those dollars for these purposes. So basically we're getting the dollars just to offset potential impact of the casino and or property tax relief. So these dollars are coming from the county's fund balance, where the other dollars replace that fund balance. So that's why we can look at it. It's really a cash flow issue.
So
All right. One of the other tattoos, there's some really cutting edge ideas in here, kind of on a small scale. For example, we're talking about a soft landing fund to do with resolve development costs. That's really on the cutting edge. We're looking at that with greater research and put together a way to administer those funds in a way that's not in a way so that you can guarantee that you're investing in projects that are going to create jobs, that are going to have a strong economic impact, kind of do something on a small scale on a pilot basis where if we're successful and it works well, that might be something for the county to consider using this mechanism on a larger scale on a county-wide basis so that developers and towns across the county might be able to approach our Economic Development Alliance to make those kinds of investments. So it's a nice way for us to kind of put a model in place, perfect it, and then consider expanding it for all the municipalities within the county.
Chris. So on C, $100,000 investment for tourism promotion, including year-round activities, historical sites, Shadowland Theater, and Angel's Walkable Downtown. So strategically, with that $100,000 that's going to be spent, has there been some thought put into it about perhaps having to rely on some surrounding areas to get the draw of people to come into Elmville? And is there an accompanying supply of lodging, hotels, bed and breakfast, if you actually want this tourism to be, you know, centered around the Elmville area specifically and rewarding? I was curious what types of thought processes and brainstorming and research are going into that component of this.
I'll say a little piece of that, but I think there are more of it, but Richard, since you worked on that a lot. We're an area that historically has had a lot of tourism.
Right.
We've had a Neverly, which is closed, although there are plans in place about an Indian casino for a new hotel to be built there and a major sporting venue for student athletes. Mm-hmm. And that is progressing. We'll hear a lot more about that, I would say, around the end of October, because that's sort of the timeline when they need to start getting approvals and get the funding going. Which is actually doing pretty well. It's a much smaller project than a casino. It'd be like a $100 million project instead of a $600 million. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have all the regulatory issues that a casino has.
Mm-hmm.
It also doesn't have the time crunch. You're trying to get it done by a certain date. So we see that coming back. We have several hotels in our area. There's Oyster Valley Resort. There is Honors Haven. And there's a lot of small bed and breakfast. So that's one piece of it. Another piece is we have one of the top mountain biking areas as in the park in the whole area. All of our things are working, from what I understand, not being a mountain biker, but seeing a lot of people come to do that. We're also the backside of the Zinnewaska Park, and there's access to the park. We see the rail trail coming down and connecting us that way as well. We have a whole bunch of things that are happening. We have professional theater. We have really a restaurant row. There's several restaurants that are really quite good and a couple more that are in the process of opening right now. So we're building a synergy there. And our vision on that, of that money, is that would be an allocation that would be set by the Essex Housing Tourism. It wouldn't be giving us some particular amount of money. If we're not advertising people, we would just ask that the county use that money to promote our part of the county. So it would be within the county's existing and quite successful marketing for tourism.
I think the fact that you mentioned the back end of the Lake Minnewaska area and, you know, like the Gardner area, I think that shows that you've put some...
We've got substantial public input. We had multiple public meetings. We received these kinds of things. We had a lot of testimonials, people with great ideas. I mean, amazing. We tried to incorporate not only the exact idea, but the spirit of it into our recommendations, and that's a good example of one.
We have a long path that starts at the Brooklyn at the bridge and ends up in the Adirondacks passing right through this area. We have OSI's current
work to reconnect the Smiley Trail, which will connect the New Paul's to Donaldville, mm-hmm. By going up and over the mountain. We have all the work that the New York State Department DEC has done in the eastern portion of the Catskills for hiking and biking new centers that are right in the same area. And then we have the O&W Rail Trail, in theory, which is under various forms of construction in this area, all meeting in Ellenville at two spots, either right in downtown Ellenville at Vernon Park, or perhaps not really in the town of Warson at Fort Bend Road. And they all convert and converge right there. So that the ability for this type of tourism, which is not your normal parts of this part of kind of tourism, are not your normal bike, walk, push stroller. Mm-hmm. The western banks are far more severe hiking concept than other parts, and it draws a different type of person. But those people already exist and already come here. And so we want to draw more of them.
Just to step back on the soft landing fund, isn't that something that the IDA does? And how is this different? And why is it being? Why wouldn't this fit there? Because this is kind of what they do, and now we're putting it in the business and life. So I'm a little confused.
It's a little bit different. The IDA and the County of Ulster, the Ulster County Legislature, and Central Hudson created a program called Ready to Go. That program is self-sustaining on the basis of the fact that you actually take a mortgage on the property and it's paid back when the property is sold. This is a little bit different than that. So that we anticipate that you're going to see something like that, but with the funding at the Ellenville area, and we would participate to make sure that all the agencies come together as part of this, so that we're really dealing with a collaborative process rather than a confrontational process as we move forward.
I'm not sure that answers my question. Maybe I missed it.
The big difference is that the IDA never did it. Right. One, it was done through the county planning department.
IDAs never did soft landing funds or grants to help businesses?
Not on the planning process, so.
Okay, so only once it's been decided they're moving here.
I'm sorry?
Only once they have a plan for a projected facility or
whatever? The IDA typically waits until the local review is completed and the seeker is done before it goes into its funding work. This is going to be
before then?
Right.
Okay.
And the county has done something like this on its, as I said, as a ready-to-go program. The IDA actually funded a piece of that. Central Hudson funded the other piece of that. This fits very well into that sort of model. The reason that it was done the way we did it before was we actually sort of took a mortgage on the property. So
which project can you share?
We did a project in sorting that level. The sorting reserve site. We created a team. Mm-hmm. We worked with the municipality. We take members of the local planning board, members of the county planning board staff, members of the IDA. And then we basically we remove the confrontation process and we work on consensus. So we went through a review process up there in Sorties for about 100,000 square feet in 3 months for less than $50,000.
So this would be inclusive of all the same parties. So IDA would have a role in it.
We think that those kinds of elements play very well here.
Okay.
And we've also, at the county planning department, we've conducted something called gateway meetings. Well, Washington has actually participated in several, one with respect to Walmart, the other one with respect, we just completed a gateway meeting with the Central Hudson project down here as well. So you come in early, everybody takes the measure of what the project is, what their concerns are. In this instance, you're going to have an opportunity to essentially pay for some of the consultant work that needs to get through in order to do the approval process. Not only so that the community is satisfied, but also so the neighbors and others are satisfied because we are prone to sue people in these times.
So the idea would still have a role. It's just, this is the front end part.
At the back end, yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes,
right.
Okay. Tricia and then Corbin.
Couple things. First, to Ken, I want to understand the $1 million
that you say is going to be budgeted for 2016. You say we know it's coming.
Yes.
Can you explain how we know it's coming?
Sure. Under the Gaming Act, passed by referendum and by the state legislature, the fees that are generated from the application and from the licensure of the facility, the way that that's structured is that the host county gets a payment of those funds, and the host town gets a payment of those funds. But then every other county within that region gets a portion of the funds.
Okay, but we know for sure that it's already, we have it in writing that we're going to get $1 million
in 2016. We based our projections based upon the actual application, the amount of money collected for the application. So we know what those dollars are and how the formula works.
So we're at least fairly confident.
Yeah, we're not going to take two.
Even though they're not open yet.
I mean, I'm just having a little bit of a hard time wrapping my head totally around this. And just to be upfront, what I'm hearing, a lot of what I'm hearing, I find really exciting, and of course I support Ellenville and every community in our entire county, and what's good for every community is good for the county as a whole. I'm having a little bit of a hard time supporting transferring $1 million with just the information before me right now. I'm having, even some of the little I've heard today, but Mr. Kelly talked about that. $100,000, the division would be that the county would use that through the county tourism department, which when I saw that fee, I thought the same thing. I thought, why couldn't this be a part, why wouldn't we have our county tourism department focus especially on this region and spend more funds on this region? But the way this right now is structured, just using that as an example, is the clearance of $100,000 to our development authority, not to our tourism department, rather than come back to it. So it's all a little bit confusing to me, and it feels a little bit disconnected from the bigger picture of how we look at the county as a whole and the communities in need, and we focus our economic development efforts. And if we were to go point by point, just A through I would and I will be asking for more details on each. And that's why I feel like I'm a little bit all over the place, but I also feel like this is a lot. And prior to this, all I really heard was the executive announcement of $1 million going to the Ellenville Million and the appointment of a group to get community input, which I think is great, but that was in advance of the legislature having any discussion. To my knowledge, this is the first time any legislators in any kind of formal capacity are discussing this. So, this is my...
I'm sure you would ask for some data to talk about why this, why now, why the various, I just provided the chair for a number of the very unique economic circumstances of the Ellenville area compared to the area of dire need, and you understand the economy of Ulster County as a whole. Where there's really good things happening and where there's some not so good things happening. So from that perspective, I think the data will help give you some perspective on that. We were very careful with the contract to structure in such a way so that there's complete transparency, so that there's some comfort level from the legislature. You'll see that each individual project has a component where there's no pass-through of dollars from the county to the development organization until there's an approved plan for each component. Okay, so once there's a complete approved plan, then a drawdown could start to occur from the county for each component. And then the remaining 20% won't be transferred to the development authority until there's a final bill or a final wrap-up of the project with reporting back to
us. So when you talk about an approved plan, the legislature is not approving each plan. If right now, if we approve this right now, we're approving a movement of $1 million, and no longer do we have a say on each plan. And I'm not saying I actually want to have on each plan. It's $1 million, and it's to one community, and I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this information, and I am not disputing Ellenville's need in the slightest. but the information, and I only got it moments ago, the information is specific to Ellenville. I've also heard that Spadakill and Kingston qualify as severely distressed, and I'm not saying we should be giving this money to Kingston or Spadakill instead. I'm saying I'd like to have a look at I'd like to understand where all this money is going in more detail. And for example, again, where the money's going through Shadowland Theater, I mean, we have a budget process where arts organizations come before us. There's nothing stopping us during the budget process to taking into consideration that Ellenville is in dire need, saying, you know what? Shadowland Theater deserves $200,000. That's a possibility. I mean, I feel like this is happening in a kind of a vacuum, and I'm speaking from my own feeling of how this is, I realize it's not happening in a vacuum for maybe anyone else, but for me right now, I'm looking at a bunch of information, minimal information, and following on a month ago announcement of $1 million going to one community. So for myself right now, today, I'm not going to be able to get to a point of supporting $1 million going to this or supporting this contract today. That doesn't mean if after more information I'll be able to get there. But I'm just saying, for me today, I'm not there yet. I don't have everything I need to be able to approve this.
I'm one of the members.
I'm
the task force. Actually, interestingly enough, a tenant I've never seen in Grahamsville resident, but my work, my business, and a lot of charitable things we support are in Washington Hills County. Our task that was presented to us, or our charge, if you will, was to be as independent as possible from any political group. I think that's how we were chosen. And then come up with what we felt were the best 3,000-foot level ideas for how to allocate money. So as we're going through the process, we learn lots of things, figured, you know, we really can't hand money to private enterprises, because that's not acceptable. But what types of activities and initiatives will actually garner economic development? So whether it's high-speed internet, solar projects, things that will just make it better in that area, that we can then use as marketing tools or items, if you will, that promote the area. If we have high-speed internet, fiber optic level, we can put that in our marketing material. We may have software development companies come in. So there's a pinpointed market. So our role was not to micromanage what the county would end up doing and how it gets done. A lot of your questions are procedural. And we have the same question as how does this get executed the best way or most efficiently? And that's up to the county to determine. Our role was to figure out at the 3,000 foot level how to allocate the money. So, and I believe you have an agency or you have enough authority to do that. I think that's how it seems to be presented. But we don't have any more details.
The other side, if I may just remind you, $1 million is a lot of money. $1 million is virtually nothing. So we were asked, how do you go out and spend $1 million to get the biggest bang for the buck, if you will, in Ellenville? It's 75,000 miles to Shadowland. Shadowland wants to create a second stage where it will do training, it will do education and training. They need some money to kickstart that to raise more money. We couldn't give them the $225,000. We could give them the $225,000. We'd be sitting here, somebody would be saying to us, you'd be a quarter of money to one place. We couldn't do that, so we agreed we'd give them $75,000 to help them get going. But we're not suggesting in any way, shape, or form the high-speed internet. But we believe that definitely can be used to influence somebody to come here for high-speed internet into that section of Ellenville and 209. We certainly hope that they, however, would back up all the way down to Marbledale, Wilmingdale, and afford us the opportunity to have it, the entire roundup. So much of this is a lot of thinking into a lot of different ways. We also, there was a committee that we were asked to do this job, and then we were done. And congratulations, you have to implement it if you choose to do it.
Okay. Hold on, okay. Carl.
Yeah, I know a lot has been said about high-speed internet and various saying fiber or whatever. There's fiber along the 209 corridor. The problem is that there's a matrix that has to be held by the private company who owns that fiber to make it worth their while to develop it for now. The campus of Ellenville High School, they've got broadband, their high-speed internet. And I know 2 years ago we discussed this in a committee, an Environmental Energy and Technology Committee, because they had a consortium of broadband companies come in and want to develop that area, specifically the Ellenville area. The problem was is that they wanted the county to put the bill for the infrastructure, which we can't do. So I see $150,000 being thrown at this, but I think you got to be very careful in how you use that, because there's always going to be that stopgap of this matrix of is it going to be worth it for anyone to do that. I will add, and this is where you end up, that we did have a memorializing resolution pushing broadband throughout the county and in support of it, and I think that the county should be supporting it. From what I've heard, the federal government has told the state of New York that we were way behind in the broadband industry, and how are we going to get up there? Maybe the county needs to invest a little. Maybe private enterprise. I talked 2 years ago about trying to get BOCES involved in it, but there's some law in the state education department that says school districts can't provide services on that scale to government and vice versa. Although we do get our broadband internet from multi-county BOCES at a lower rate than the county has in the past, a much lower rate of share. But if you could use that money to develop a think tank to try and, because I think that would be the solution to most of the business problem in Ellenville, is that you need that broadband rate. It's like you're saying, you want research and development companies, expand the hospitals, expand the libraries, and that's a tough one, and I don't know how you're going to do it. But I see how
Jim and then I get Mary Beth and Dave.
Okay. I'm sorry, I have to go because I'm on the same page as Tracy right now, just thinking about what you said and then what she said. Can we go back to this, like, step one? Why are we not waiting for the state to come through with their money before we go ahead and do this? Like, I understand there's need, but really, does putting, there's no promises that money's going to come through. I mean,
the money's in state law. State law has agreed to, and the dollars have been set aside.
Oh, okay. But that being said, why can't we wait for that money to come through?
The situation in Illinois and Washington is very serious. And we need to jumpstart some activity in that area. That's what these dollars are meant to do. Again, and someone mentioned this, kind of the scale of the county budget. This is not a lot of money on that scale. And again, it's an investment that we make now and have a try to get some momentum moving and start the impact. Obviously, the legislature's decision whether we wait or not. There's no reason for us to wait. Some of these projects are I think you got to look at all the projects and the ranks, and we were careful to make sure we had a structure in place where really it's an approved plan and a thoughtful use of the dollars with transparency and accountability. I think you got to look at all of them. I think the broadband recommendation is the hardest challenge for the high end of that forward. Many of the other recommendations here, some targeted marketing, some support for specific facilities or other facilities in the community are a lot easier for us to just jump on and move forward and kind of jump certain projects.
I just want to finish by saying that I personally think, I think Tracy would agree, this should be its own meeting. This is a lot. And yes, I did read it before, and I am listening now, but to go through each of these items, I think, is important, and I think, to put it in with all the rest of the stuff and just hear it, and we know we got all these other resolutions and another meeting afterwards. I would personally, to be on board, would say that we should have a meeting just for this. That would be my opinion.
We're happy to provide any information.
Okay.
Sure.
I agree. This was in the county executive, state of the county,
Mm-hmm. This was put forth in a speech that evening. And I believe that there was a gentleman represent the say, planning group, for less, lack of a better term. And I think they've done their due diligence over the past 3, 4, 5 months locating or taking in applications of local businesses that would fall into the soft landing category. Whatever need they can do to, you know, help those businesses in the local, you know, on the main street. I mean, what I hear is, you know, water and sewer are gonna, agreements are going to be made, infrastructure is going to be put in place to share, you know, these two utilities. I mean, this gentleman hit it, you know, $1 million is a lot of money, and $1 million is not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I've read exactly what you read. They took in, what, $25 or $30 million in just casino application, non-refundable. You didn't even put $1 million on the table just to put in an application. A lot of people spent millions of dollars and went home with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that money is going to come from. I really think I understand there probably should have been a little more detail on each of the projects, but I think that we should really strongly consider moving this forward.
I get Dave in the
I mean, I can see where some people may have some confusion as to, you know, why it's right now here, but having said that, I think it was done, in the right way, and so often it's not done in the right way. I mean, we don't have public hearings and things of that nature. Instead, we get things given to us, and then we have to act on it. This was done through public hearings and conversations that were had within the group that was brought in. And I think it really boils down, do you think that we should put $1 million in Allendale? I think that's what it boils down. I mean, I think they did their work. As Legislator Maloney pointed out, they did the work that they were charged to do when they came forth this as what they think the money should be spent on. And, you know, when I agree with the concept because of Ellenville, the proximity to where the gambling is going to be taking place, that's why the money should be going into those areas. Plus, the price of Ellenville, and I agree with you, I've looked at a million come to the city of Kingston, but at the same time, I've heard that very well from the L class. So, I mean, I support it as it is, and I think we should move forward on that question.
Okay.
I just want to answer that, Dave, and thank you for those comments. We didn't second guess the recommendations of the committee when they allocated the dollars. What we did as part of our internal due diligence is to make sure we could do it legally and effectively, transparently, and with accountability back to the legislature. So we think the way we structured this contract does that without second guessing the work of the committee. So I think we've got all those pieces in place.
I would say that we think the committee did a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at what's out there and what they propose, I think one of the fundamental differences between doing these sort of one project at a time is a comprehensive strategy. And when you look at it, it's a comprehensive strategy. It's quality of life. It's marketing for its marketing. It's cultural protection. It's historic preservation. It's Main Street work. And it's infrastructure. And the infrastructure there that is getting the businesses through the planning process pretty rapidly. All of that suggests that a comprehensive strategy to address all of the things to make the community more attractive, more economically sound, is what's come out of it. It's great. And that's why it deserves, I think it deserves more flesh on its bone. And the way that the contract is written allows the town to essentially make sure that happens before the money changes hands.
And I think the missing link here is, I think everybody had some good things to say. This group worked very hard. They met with a lot of people. Nobody is denying what has been put before it. I think where the sticky part is on the process side about the transfer of the money to the Business Alliance. Without, you say oversight, the only oversight we have is right now. Do we agree that it goes, yes, you guys are going to review it, but will it come back here? No, it won't.
Hold on.
I will point out that two of the five members of the Delta Committee are sitting at the table.
But this body never has the never had the opportunity to have this group, who would present to us economic development, what this would entail. So, okay, we're past that now, but now we're talking about the process side of it. And the process side, once this money is released and we sign off on this, whatever detail or how the strategy gets developed into a plan of execution never comes back to this body, so we won't know. So I think that's the way I read it. If I missed something, please enlighten me.
There's a difference between policy and operations. I mean, we're operationalizing these dollars with this resolution.
Okay.
We get built into that accountability, so there will be reporting. The way the funds are drawn down in a way that's very systematic, and reporting back to the risk committee and the whole legislature, so they don't get them done with. So that you can measure whether what they said they actually achieved or not achieved.
So we will get reports. Okay.
Chris,
right.
So we're going to wrap it up with Chris.
I attended the State of the County address at Ulster Community College in Stone Ridge, and I remember paying attention to Mike Hines' presentation, and he described this essentially as being a financial quid pro quo for the Ellenville area not receiving the state casino, and it was framed as a series of funds that was coming through some anti-competition funding that was made through the process. And, you know, at the time when I heard about it, I thought, gee, Ellenville needs that money. And it's almost like you could throw $1 million into Ellenville and you would hope that you get $1 million in benefits and improvements, so to speak, in return. You know, question whether it would be like just throwing it into a black hole, but anybody in this room that's not from the Ellenville area or near there drives through. I mean, I've been in the Ellenville area maybe 4 times or 5 times in the last year. I mean, it's in dire need of help. And if there's any criticism I've heard from talking to people since I've been in office for a year and a half and 2 years since I've been running, is that county government, you know, you can decide which branch I'm referring to. You know, in discussions I've heard, they've said that it basically some of the blame has been placed on county government for allowing Ellenville to be in the state that it's in today. So I think that this is a proactive approach. I mean, by Mike Hines announcing this at the State of the County address over 6 months ago, and then this is planning and implementation. So if we were to wait until the last minute once that money comes through, because it is state law, and that the amount of money, like what Legislator Maloney said, the amount of money that's ponied up and put on the table for the applications for these casinos is an astronomical amount of money. And the question I was going to ask, is there a chance that the amount of money that Ulster County share is might exceed $1 million?
Yes, in fact, we basically get an estimate for the first year of those dollars. The county is going to get revenue every year on a recurring basis. We won't know the full value of those dollars until you understand the economic activity that's been generated at the casino, Montreal Casino in Sullivan County. So we're going to get a set formula amount of those proceeds of the licensure and the revenue generated, you know, going forward. So that'll be a longer-term decision of the legislature. You know, what's the county going to do with these recurring revenues that are coming in? We know that we're pretty confident in the first year is that approximately $1 million that we have.
So I guess my suggestion of input would be perhaps if County Executive Office, kind of, you guys could explain the formula that goes into deciding upon how much money Ulster County is going to get. I think it would ease the concerns.
I can provide that in a follow-up email to the committee with the section of law and the discussion of how we can do that to that
number. Okay. I want to wrap up here.
Don't you wrap it up?
Yeah, Jim and Phil and Joe.
Yeah.
Would everybody feel more comfortable if we did an amendment to the Ulster County EDA, which both TJ and I are board members, will be, if you read 5A through G, there's going to be a process set up, there's going to be retainages, there's going to be plans put forth, that if we bring back, you know, monthly or bi-monthly reports to this committee, the same document that we received at the Ulster County EDA.
That work for people?
Which one are you in? Section 5?
Page 9, Section 5. I mean, when you look at this, soft landing upon this fund shall be available to provide grants for developers and new business enterprises in the village of Ellenville and town of Warsing. Shall create this fund, establish rules for its use, and shall include but not limited to the requirement that new jobs are created in the village with clawback provisions. I mean, that would be any better than that. Okay. Do you want to leave it the way it is?
Well, I mean, I think in an ideal world, the two of you would be reporting back to this committee on a regular basis anyway, so I'm not sure that an amendment, I mean, if you want to make an amendment about reporting for a committee, that's fine, but that doesn't, that's not going to answer all my questions. I mean, I'll have to do my usual thing. If it's going to pass, then I'll just do my usual thing between now and Christmas, but I'm not sure.
All right, then we'll...
I know that we have a ring for now, but we have the economic development director comes in, bi-monthly basis, and I will ask her to include and that report back to the committee when we are with the elders on the project. So.
Okay. Well, I was going to wrap up.
You had
other people before. Yeah. I know. Phil, you good? There you go.
But it seems like the issue is that, you know, much in a corporate setting, when you hire, when a CEO hires this next level management down, rather than Michael, a board of directors micromanaging the managers that the CEO is in charge of, it seems we have a similar situation here where you've got this county Economic Development Alliance. I don't know how that's appointed, whether you've appointed that, whether it's a county entity or not. But if it seems to me that it's a county entity, and you all have had input on making that committee or alliance, it seems that you're not giving that alliance the responsibility to carry out its task. And I want to look at this from an outsider, it doesn't matter what the process is, but that's my only comment.
Okay. Angela?
Yeah, I think I'm beginning to understand that the money that would have ended up helping Ellenville, and I was there for the state of the county address, is still forthcoming from the other casino and will come to the county. That's why it's written as no impact.
Under state law, Ulster County will receive
And then my other comment is that I wrote to the committee and I sent the committee extensive information on green hotels and conference centers, and I never heard back from the committee. You know, that you're not cultivating my vote that way. At least the courtesy of a response would have been appreciated. The other thing is that we are in a climate crisis, and I don't see anything in here that is addressing renewable energy or green stormwater infrastructure, and I hope that as this is flushed out, and particularly with regard, even though the Hunt Memorial Building is a historic building, there are ways to do green rehabs and restorations, and the Main Street improvements and beautification, that's a wonderful opportunity for green stormwater management. So I would like to offer, again, to provide input from my experience to be sure that in this decade of climate crisis and the future that we face, that that mitigation, adaptation, resilience, and those considerations, because it looks to me, with the exception of the high-speed internet, which I think is absolutely part of that, but most of the other. Well, I'm going to need to one on tour, but most of the other are very traditional approaches, and I would like to see some more current approaches.
We do have money allocated to solar, and as a deadline for applying for a New York Prize grant right now, this process is taking longer than expected.
Okay. All right.
Can I just ask a question? Sorry, before you go. Sure. The manager, why doesn't they financial impact none. I was more caught up in the details, but I mean, it should say $1 million spend. It should say, I mean, that's definitely a process. We have to get clear. I mean, it's not just on this resolution, but on other resolutions. And if that financial impact none really should be for memorializing revenue indoors. Those that clearly have no financial impact.
Because it's
a
million revenue, a million
expense. Where's the revenue?
In the future.
Well, we have in the future, right? You can't put for a future revenue that doesn't exist. For this year and this vote, it's $1 million. Right. Still $1 million impact for county funds. Like other places, it says $1 million state funds, pass through, it's $1 million county funds.
Okay, on the vote.
Move it.
We've already moved for discussion. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, you're good. Okay, I guess we're around.
Okay,
thank you, everybody. Resolution, since we're on the bottom, let's work our way up. 313, confirm the Ulster County intention to join a network in internet, broadband, consortium, and authorizing Ulster BOCES to act on Ulster County's behalf. Okay, Mayor Beth, second. Discussion?
Just there was, everybody should know, there was a lot of discussion for towns and the supervisors in Grandville, and I got a couple of phone calls that they would like to provide an amendment, but then Deputy Executive Printout told me that they could call BOCES and BOCES may have them. So everybody should be aware of that, so find out from your supervisors if, you know, the towns want to be included.
And then I got phone calls that why weren't the towns included?
Okay.
So the BOCES asked the county, it's the BOCES process, so call BOCES to see if you can be added on. It's their game.
And the county's been doing this with BOCES. They do it on their computer software. And
all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're going to pass it along. 312. Authorizing Ulster County Executive to execute a contract with the New York State Housing and Trust Fund Corporation, represented by the Office of Community Renewal.
Second.
Okay. Discussion.
This is a award that we just got in for doing housing rehab, and we structured this a little bit differently. This housing rehab is designed for low and moderate income people to spend a higher percentage of their income for energy. So this is actually designed to housing rehab based on energy and energy efficiency. The implementing entity is, as a sub-recipient, would be Rupco. And we've had pretty extensive discussions with the state in order to get us this far. And we were very fortunate, I think, to be awarded. We're currently implementing a home ownership program. So we'll have about $1 million of either home ownership or housing rehab out. And just for everybody's information, the governor's office of small cities announced the opening of next year's funding round the day we got the award letter. So, and those applications are for the 21st. So I think in this package, you also have a resolution for public hearing.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And on cue, 311 is public hearing. Discussion? If none, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Thank you. 310, authorizing the chairman of the OK legislature to expand. Second?
Second.
Okay. The new bus link.
This is no cost?
No cost.
I have a question on this one.
It's a 5-year plan.
It's no cost.
It's
no cost.
I just have a question.
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think this is great, but my question is, in the letterizes, maybe I read it wrong, it says in order to provide different kinds of services necessary to justify two full-time benefits, bus drivers, and then we get instead of $35,000, we go to regular pay of $18,000.
I know it's that too.
So is that we had approved this back last year. And is this an extension of that or is an amendment of the one we approved last year? Okay, and when you say expanded service, it's here it says the same route. I mean, I looked in and it says that here. City of not Ulster County doesn't say unless I miss the resident. I'm just trying to understand what's expanded. Okay. Is it hours expanded? Is it number of trips? Is it from one part of Ulster that wasn't included in before? It's not really clear.
It is a new service that was an expanded service that was run from Kingston to the 50 train station. We run it now once in the morning, once in the evening. What we propose is that we're going to run it four times in the morning and three times in the evening. We carry 65,000 people from the Rosendale default to the Kingston station, and we expect that from Kingston, those lines will be much higher than
a long line, definitely. So it's already addressed on the other side.
Right, and the other thing I should mention, Fairways gave up the 9W corridor, so there's no service on 9W.
At all, okay. And this will provide service. Okay. Thank you.
Great.
I'm sorry, I'm repeating my ignorance, so I just really need to get my head around. So the salary is $35,705. That's the salary for two people full time for a year. And $18,000 is a facility for two people?
For two people for 3 months.
So what's the $35,000 is the whole thing altogether. This is just for 3 months of salary. What is the annual salary?
What they're considering the salary would be the salary, retirement, social security, health insurance, contractual, shift pay. Those are all added together.
So one person is
on the
two. Right, so that's for 3 months?
Yeah.
For 3 months. So that would be October, November, December. Okay. So just multiply by four. Multiply by four.
So in other words, the way that this works, and we've done it with the link for the last 5 years, and they've committed another 5 years to us at 100 stairs. Anything that we don't get in stairs or reimbursement from Stowe, which is state operating, mm-hmm. they pick up the rest 100%.
Okay.
Okay. This is 1 in 6,
isn't
it? Right? 1 in 6. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Last one, 295. Supporting consideration inclusion of 300 Flatbush Avenue, Kingston, New York, in the state and national registers of historic places. Motion? Wait, I need a
motion for discussion.
Okay. Lynn, second?
Yes.
Herb, okay. Discussion?
I just have a question. I mean, I didn't even realize when we transferred this building that it was a historical building. I wasn't familiar with the address. I did receive some information from folks on historic preservation. And it's basically the document you have included in this resolution. The statement of support by the owner, it would have to be the EDA that would sign the statement of support stating this is a historical building. What's the implication of that in this process?
Well, there is a number of ways it's actually done. Right now we're looking at a memorialized right, asking them to support this and move forward, and hopefully that will happen. And as you can see, it's a very important building to the city of Kingston. It's, there was part of the city built in 1872. It was an alms building, and the very first municipal building put up by the city of Kingston, which says a lot about the community that, so therefore it's got a lot of historic significance. And if you go to the building is a beautiful place, it's a beautiful building. And, we certainly open to you, the facade has not changed, and, by the way, for apartments would be great for the, nice high-end apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've got two similar things, like in Boston, outside of Boston, outside of Baltimore. I've seen some places that they've done really nice high-end apartments with school buildings or things of that nature. And that community is a nice, very nice neighborhood right there. And, my concern, of course, is not preserving that community. And that's what I talked about when we transferred to the LDC. I was sitting in the lawn as happening because I was worried about the building and about anything else. I did talk to the Historic Landmarks Commission. They have a little more teeth. So they're moving towards actually pushing this. Also, I had a conversation with George. How do you say George's last name again?
Donskoy.
I had a conversation with them, and he was talking about they were going to move forward on making this. So they have a little more teeth to do that with. But he said that this would help out also with the support. And, so that's, basically why I put it in. And if you notice, even Trenton Historic Kingston in the past, when they do things, this communication, they put, like, historic buildings. This is one of the buildings that they put in the brochures. Because, like I said, it's a beautiful building. There's beautiful landscape in there. It's actually two properties. High-end apartments would be great there.
Well, that's a further development. I'm just concerned about, at this juncture, we've already transferred the building there. I'm just trying to understand what's the implication at this stage. I mean, it's clearly an important building in the community. Does this present any challenge?
I'm going to vote no. And the reason I'm voting no is because once you designate something historic, which is part of the problem we have with the Hunt Building in Ellenville, there's a lot of stuff you can't do. You can't disturb the walls. You can't touch certain things. So you're hindered. But what it does is then it hinders the purchase of that building. If I wanted to buy it and let's say make high-end apartments, you probably couldn't because you can't take the walls apart. I'm still going to be a no.
On the inside, it's not right.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's why we have problems insulating the walls at the Hunt Building. You can't touch the inside walls or anything. They're
all concrete blocks in that building.
Is there a way to get this confirmed?
You do whatever you wish, but like I said, my concern is it's building, and there's no reason to wait for it. There's more chance of something happening to it that shouldn't happen to it. You said, it should have never been transferred to the
Beautiful. Can we ask maybe for some more information, both a legal opinion and more information regarding the designation, and if we need to, have a special meeting prior to session?
You want to see what we can find out, and then have a special meeting at even it's 4 caucus next week.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
I think it's important to really understand the implications of doing.
Okay. All right.
I think it's important to do, but I also think we need to understand.
We're not in the middle of a deal, are we?
Yeah.
It is on the market, and one thing, I would not want to see that designation hurt the market of the property.
So let's see what we can find out.
Either one of you live in the city of Kingston or affected by this building. That's what we'll say.
No.
Dave, let me just make one point to you. When Mike Hine originally proposed this thing to me, the first words out of my mouth was, and the building stays. So
let me hear it. We'll do that before caucus next week. And we'll have that
after caucus.
After caucus.
Sometimes.
It'll be quick. We'll get an answer. So.
It's circulated electronically.
Yeah. Krista does that. She's the best with that because you don't want me to ask. She'll get somebody else's email. Any new business?
I want to address this, and I'm going to try and address it as respectfully as I possibly can. So please hear that first. This is not the first time we've had an issue that has been talked about in great detail at the EDA that has never come back to this committee for an understanding of what transpired, an update about what you were privy to or not. And it makes it awkward when all the hard work that that group did, and we're stumbling on process and not having had the opportunity and the fairness of understanding what had been proposed, I don't think it bodes well for this committee.
Are you talking about the Elder Million?
Yeah, I'm talking about what happened.
That didn't go through EDA or anything. We haven't had anything to do with that.
So it was never presented to
the
EDA?
No, not at all.
All right.
No.
So then I take that back. But I will say it is important, and it doesn't happen, for the two of you who sit on this board to share with us what transpires there.
Sure.
We don't get any information. There are sometimes we're hit with stuff that we aren't even, we're being asked in a very tight time frame to digest it, and you've had the luxury of being a part of a meeting. And
well, not on this one.
Granted, but it does beg the question about other things. And if this stuff gets presented there and you're flushing it out, that would be very helpful to come back to this committee with. So, and again, respectfully asking that we get regular updates from these meetings so we understand what's happening at that level. That would be very helpful.
That's why I appreciate your amendment.
Yes,
one thing I can see happening at the EDA, when this Ellenville Million starts to get implemented, we're not going to be meeting four times a year.
Right.
We're going to be meeting more often.
Right.
Right. So it would be helpful for us to know, you know, what's happening, and you're sharing that.
Okay.
So
well,
I will ask you, did the Friends of Historic Kingston do a presentation on this voting view already?
At the EDA?
No. They said that they presented it to the LTC, maybe.
Oh.
And,
I missed last meeting in the LTC, but other than that, unless they presented last month, they have not presented it. No. I missed last month's meeting, but that was it.
I got it in the email. I got the little package.
Yeah. Not that I know. Any of the new, if not old?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Before we do adjourn, I just want to thank everybody for their patience and vetting and everything, and nobody raised their voice, and thank you very much. It makes life a lot easier. So, thank you. If it makes you feel worse to think you were nicer, no, you weren't nice.